All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, this is actually a different kind of episode. We've done these a few times in the past. It's just a special mini episode where I had my parents, Rich and Sonny Rosen, join me to talk about a movie. And this time we are talking about Elvis, Baz Luhrmann's insane over-the-top biopic of Elvis Presley. Those of you who have listened for a while know that my family owns Wax Trax Records here in Las Vegas, and so music has always been a big part of my life. And of course, with my parents being in the store all the time and their specialty being music from back in that era, I had to watch the movie with them, and then I had to have this conversation with them. So we're not going to do our whole puzzle pieces thing and all that. It's just a fun little conversation. But I will talk about a few puzzle pieces after the conversation in our outro before we finish up the episode. So stay tuned for that. That's something I don't usually do. But yeah, that's coming up. So before we get to our conversation with my parents about Elvis, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. We have 250-something other episodes that dig into our actual format every week. Lots and lots of episodes you could check out. So make sure you're subscribed. If you like the show, rate and review us, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, wherever it is you're listening. We appreciate the 5-star ratings. And follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. So let's talk to my parents about Elvis. I wish I had already been recording, but now we are.
Okay, who goes first?
Are you doing okay over there, Dad? You're comfortable?
You go first.
Okay, so anyhow. Rich is back hurts.
She has the worst.
Did I buy you that bear?
No wonder why she's sleeping on the floor.
What's wrong with the couch?
Couch is wonderful.
I love my couch.
I love it too.
Ask the little one.
Can we, poor Harvey? Okay, so anyhow, I'm trying to remember the year. I'm going to say around 1971 or 79. Oh, we drove past the Suns. Will you stop?
They're in my podcast recording studio for the first time. Okay.
Yeah, I like it in here. It's very cozy.
What was over there? Sonny's picture nude? Or one of our friends nude?
We passed by the Sun Studios, but it was closed. It probably wasn't considered a really, like a museum at the time. I don't know about that. You know what movie we saw? You know what we saw in Memphis? You know what I'll never forget? We saw the movie Ben. With another, of course, icon singing the theme song. Michael, and guess what was in front of the theater? It was like a 60-foot rat. I have never forgotten that in my entire life.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
She gets up screaming. Because she says, where's the rat?
I have a picture of me in front of the Graceland gates, but that would have been before Richie, so...
No, Sonny, that was the sanitarium gates.
I don't know what year. It just came up in my memories. Anyway, I did love Elvis, and then I got really bored with Elvis. But I think he was a phenomenal singer, and I'm glad he sold the most records of any solo artist. And they left out, you know, the Sweet Inspirations were fabulous, but there was a white girl who sang. She probably wrote a book. I'll bet she did. She sang high soprano on some of his numbers, and she really kicked butt. But I don't remember her name. It might have been something like Kathy Westmoreland or whatever.
Her name was Sandra Kickbutt.
and then they left out. There were two other women in his life that were really fairly important. And not to do with all the Hollywood stars that he bedded. But Linda Thompson, who really tried to straighten him out for a number of years. And then I guess she just freaking gave up. And guess who she married? Bruce Jenner, who then became Caitlyn Jenner. Linda Thompson was with him for quite a number of years. And then towards the end, there was this stripper-looking girl that was with him. Her name was Ginger Alden.
How's Caitlyn?
And that's, I think he Jenner died going? With a... Will you stop? I don't care about Caitlyn Jenner. And I think when he died, he might have been dating or engaged to that Ginger lady. And I don't know if you guys know this or whatever, but he hadn't had a bowel movement in 2 weeks. And
Caitlin?
Let's circle this back to the movie.
Now, poor Elvis.
My friend Caitlin?
He was constipated.
Yeah, they left that part out. They focus a little more on the Tom Parker stuff.
He hadn't taken a dump in 2 weeks, so. Oh,
Caitlin. Probably you.
It's too cold in here.
Dad, okay. What did you think of the movie, Dad?
My balls are hard.
Lean into the mic and tell us what you thought.
What did I think of the movie?
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Great.
I asked him, not you.
It was long. Uh-huh. I was sitting on a terrible couch. Mm.
What do you think of Austin Butler?
He was wonderful.
Who's that?
The actor.
Oh?
The actor.
Which actor?
Elvis.
Oh. He was. What'd you say? Wonderful. He was wonderful.
Wait. Okay. Pop quiz. Pop quiz.
Okay.
Don't answer,
I'll
Mom.
I'll try not to.
Who played Colonel Tom Parker?
Oh, that's not a pop quiz. That's a stupidity.
Why?
What was
his name again?
I know you don't remember.
Wait a second. Tom Hanks.
Wow. Yay! Good job. Who was in the movie you were watching the other day? The vampire movie.
Jamie Foxx.
Ooh. He's been...
Keep going. I like this.
He's been practicing, I think. All right.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm exhausted.
Tell us about when you saw Elvis, Mom.
It had to be in the late 60s. I met your father in 71, and I went to see him with my girlfriends at the International because we used to, and I don't have a single picture to prove it, but we came out after Caesars opened, and that's, I think, around 66. And I think we only saw him one night. We had terrible seats, but I was like 20 feet away from Cary Grant, and that was phenomenal to see him walk in. And I'm sure not some of your listeners know who Cary Grant was.
I'm sure they do.
Absolutely. And he put on a great show, but I was a zillion miles away. So, of course, fast forward 20 years later, and I have tickets for the show in 77, 1 week after he died, and I gave Dad the tickets to put up in Wax Trax Records. And of course, Dad lost the tickets. They were for a show the last week of August at Nassau Coliseum because we still resided
in
Brooklyn. No, they fell down the back with the Sonny and Cher picture, I think.
Where's the Sonny and Cher picture?
That's missing. Another thing.
And there's a third thing. the Jimi Hendrix picture.
But Elvis was really terrific. And but then again, I've seen a million terrific performers. So what could I tell you?
Did you think that the performances, like the concert performances in this, were reminiscent
of
how he really
very,
was?
Oh, yeah. And the outfits. Oh, my God. They were fabulous. Because I watch Elvis videos once in a while. And I watched that Aloha from Hawaii is probably one of my all-time favorite TV specials. And he was just so amazing. He really commanded a lot of inspiration. His presence, he was terrific. I just got... You know, tired of him, I guess, over
time. But he's so weak to have to go on to drugs like that.
No, it was Dr.
Where's my lyrical?
It was...
That was funny?
Isn't that amazing? Doctor,
I like making fun of people that have problems like that.
That's right.
Me. He's making fun of himself in this case. So,
yes. No. Dr. Nick helped kill him. There's no doubt about it. The same way Conrad Murray helped to kill MJ. So when you get that famous and that big and you can't fight it, then you have to give in to the pills or drugs or alcohol. He should have never died at 42. That is so sad and so young. I mean,
he was the first of many that did that.
The superstars.
Yeah, that just got
destroyed. I think a big part of this movie was comparing it to some of the people that got destroyed down the road. I mean, I feel like
Michael Jackson,
of course. And
naturally.
Then just the fact that they included Britney Spears music in there for no particular reason.
Oh, I didn't recognize that.
Yeah, they remixed one of his songs with Toxic during one of the scenes.
Oh, I didn't even remember.
And I think
that.
It was just like a subtle reminder that it's still going on with stars. They're still using them up, and you know.
Well, that's definitely what I got when the first time we saw it. I walked away with that, like, just anger. You know?
It's just a shame.
So, they get chewed up and spit out.
Why do they need so much idolation from the public? Why can't they find happiness within themselves or their immediate family? Why do they need the world to worship them? Because most people that are out there really don't give a shit.
Don't the record companies require them to do shows in order for them to get paid?
Yeah, and the Colonel Tom Parkers.
They don't make any money off the records, right?
Yeah. Well, what did you two think of this in comparison to other musician biopics? We had the Queen one a couple of years ago, and there was the Aretha one. Like, what about any
Aretha,
of those?
You know, the Aretha one, I have one of them on tape, on DVR. I didn't like the Jay Hud version at all.
Mm-hmm.
However, the other one with the English actress, whose name, of course, I have no idea.
That's the one you have on tape?
Yeah. Okay. That one was amazing because every time Courtney Vance walked into the room, I literally shivered watching. I was so scared what was going to happen to her because her father was such a beast. But Forest Whitaker didn't pull it off in the American version, and I like the English girl better.
One of the ones that hurt me a lot was Whitney Houston.
Well, that movie's coming out in a couple months.
Who's playing Whitney Houston?
I don't remember, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, because that hurt me.
Yeah.
I want to know why there hasn't been a James Dean story, or maybe there was something called Root Something or Other, you know, that kind of paralleled his life, but I don't think there's been anything really intensive. Certainly not like Elvis or the Queen movie.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Marilyn Monroe movie.
Oh, yeah.
When she died, like August 4th or 5th or whatever, I was on Fire Island and it came over the radio and I picked up a big rock and I wrote on the rock, MM and the date. That's how I kind of remember. It was first week of August. But I don't know. I lost the rock the way he lost the Elvis tickets.
What did you have with you to write on the rock?
I probably had a magic marker at the beach.
Why?
No, when I got back to the... We were a bunch of girls.
Oh, you're lying, man.
No, we were sharing a thingy.
Erase that.
No, and that's another terrible, sad story. But I did see Joe DiMaggio play once, if that means anything.
Okay.
So that shows how old I am. But I saw Mickey Mantle play a lot. Where's his story?
Wait a minute.
Wait. There was something called 51.
Yeah.
That was the Roger Maris story, I think. And because he broke Mickey's records.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been partially a Mickey story. Because all my idols are dead.
Mm.
This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. James Dean.
This being as much a Colonel Tom Parker story as it is an Elvis story, what did you guys know about Colonel Tom Parker before watching this?
Yeah, that he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, that he knew how to manipulate the public. And the fact that they put him in with those carnival shows, which is about as freaky as you can get. And he obviously got his way around real well. So he was a blessing and a curse to Elvis. Elvis could still be alive if it wasn't for him. But had he not attained the same amount of fame.
He would still be alive if not for him. Definitely.
Well, he called in the doctors.
Because
that's their job. Yeah. They have to take care of these people.
Did people ever bring Colonel Tom Parker up as like his own little mini celebrity?
Separately? Why would they?
Well, I mean, as being so connected to Elvis and his whole story.
I read an interesting piece about how he used to hang out in front of the grocery stores while his wife shopped. I don't think he's dead that long, maybe 10 years.
Or so. What are these things on your wall?
Soundproofing, but they're probably not working very well.
I thought they were.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so nobody ever talks about the Colonel. And yeah, he did have one or two performers, singers in his stable before, but nobody of that depth. I guess it said that snow guy. What was his name? Stop talking. God.
Look at the way she points. Her fingers go up.
There's a lot of distractions in this room. Mom, favorite Elvis song. We might as well get that in here.
Oh, I have
If I Can Dream.
No, there's
Dad's. I love Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And I love Suspicious Minds.
You're finally admitting
and it. I love Blue Christmas. I think he's one of the top three Christmas songs.
All right, let's get you on track, Dad, and talk about something
here. Oh, and that one other
here.
Thing. I have one more thing before he goes off. So in, it would be the second movie, I'm sure, Loving You, because I probably saw if he did 10 movies, I probably saw like 8 of them before I threw up. And in Loving You, when he goes down the aisle and he's saying, got a lot of living to do, got a whole lot of loving to do, come on, baby. It's his mom who's sitting in the aisle and she's clapping. The big, dumpy-looking, dark-haired woman. So I just want you to know that.
All right.
Okay.
Do you like, actually, before we get to Dad, do you like any of his movies?
Oh, I liked the first one because it was like Love Me Tender, and it was thrilling because he was like the unimportant son. Richard Egan was the star. Deborah somebody or other was the love interest, and he fell in love with his brother's girlfriend or fiance. And I just, you know, there was a little conflict, and he rode a horse.
And I watched Blue Hawaii recently.
Jailhouse Rock was probably the best one.
That's probably...
Most of the movies were just... They were just awful, which is why he ended up growing the ridiculous mutton chops. That was to spit on the studio because they made him so clean looking, which was revolting.
Well, Dad, lean in a little bit to the mic and tell people a little bit about Elvis in Wax Trax, about what people come for, some of your favorite stuff.
To show you how hot he is, we moved him right into the front when you walk into the store.
Yeah.
You see Elvis's section on CDs. And the Beatles right alongside it.
He has his own section.
Now, in the back, you have, again, on vinyl, you have the Elvis records, and then right next to it, you have the Beatles records. Nice coordination.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a couple of Elvis statues in the house.
You got a lot of Elvis statues at the store, too. Yeah,
we do. And we have Elvis decanters, and we have Elvis prints. And there's some other Elvis stuff. Oh, I think like the Christmas tree ball kind of stuff. Yeah, the scarf.
What a waste of 2 minutes. Can you go back?
From the old international.
Well, I heard you say while we were watching the movie that you have the menus at the store.
Yeah, I do. I got that.
I have the international
menu. That's me who got that, and I have the shopping bag sitting in our living room. That they gave out for the Elvis thing.
Where'd you get that from me?
I went. You didn't go to the show. And I have scarves. No. I have 2 Elvis scarves. Not you.
He probably got them in a box of stuff.
If they're complete,
I gave you the menu. I should have 2 Elvis bags.
I had a Barbara Streisand menu.
You probably stole my stuff.
And I had an Elvis present menu.
Oh, he had
to
say Streisand. Okay. Oh, no. I gave you, so there.
What's the most popular Elvis thing that people come in for?
Still the 5 Sons.
Oh, the original recordings on Sun. They're worth quite a bit of money.
That's what they're really.
And they're on 78 and 45?
Yeah, both. Definitely.
Yeah, they are really worth a lot of money. And, of course, the big...
And, of course, since we're in Vegas, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's an album except a bootleg album on Viva Las Vegas, but there's an EP.
Uh-huh. And you have that?
I have that.
Yeah.
And Elvis did steal black music, but sometime along the way, I think he tried to give props.
Yeah.
Except Chuck D hates him. Chuck D from Public Enemy.
Chuck D hates a lot of people.
Yeah, so I don't deal with haters. But I think along the way, he did try
mistake.
To...
Mistake. I think the movie had one big mistake.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fats Domino?
Mm-hmm.
They had a skinny guy there. Skinny black guy.
Oh, no. I thought it was B.B. King.
No, B.B. King was a star with him. For quite a while. But then...
Fats Domino wasn't skinny like that.
What?
Fats Domino was always the fat man.
Yeah, he was a bigger guy.
I saw Fats Domino in Montreal.
I saw him at Alan Freed.
No, I did too.
Did you really?
Yeah, sure.
He was the fat man.
Yeah, he was a fat man. And they shouldn't have showed a skinny guy. They said... He says...
He should have been heavier.
Fats Domino and it was a skinny black guy.
And you know, during Katrina, Fats Domino... lost all of his gold records and all of his possessions. Yeah. He stayed in the 9th Ward, and then I think he rebuilt.
When did he die? A year or two ago?
Maybe 5, 6. I'm not so bad with years. I really am.
So that's the only mistake I saw.
I want to take you home.
No.
Back to the store.
I want to take you home.
Oh, very good.
He always
good.
Looks at the audience. And
he was so good.
He's not watching.
That's okay. She's checking.
Yeah, I don't. And he looks at the audience.
He's yelling at Gina in the middle of the recording. Now she's taking pictures of them.
I want to walk you home. I want to take you back.
One more question about Wax Trax.
Can I tell about the place in Canada where I saw Fats Domino?
Please do.
I was sitting at.
Uh-oh, she's in trouble now.
I was sitting at the bar. And a gorgeous blonde was sitting alongside me.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, anyway,
nice.
I'm just trying to remember.
DVD collection.
I remember. That's she wasn't with me. We weren't even married.
That's why you had that. You had the thing for redheads.
Is that when he cheated on you when he was a taxi driver?
Oh, that was our other stories. But no, he liked redheads and he liked Latin
girls. No, that redhead is not a redhead. It's a mixed. Oh, it's mixed. It's Canadian.
His first wife was a redhead, though, right?
Ooh, yes, Sonia.
What are we talking about?
I don't know how I'm going to edit any of this. It's going to be terrible. I just wanted to ask, because people listening, you know, maybe they're interested in Wax Trax, what is like an interesting Elvis thing that you think you have that maybe they wouldn't find somewhere else?
Well, the last portion of it, 1968 or 9, with the last special.
We have the Aloha from Hawaii.
We have this display of him standing in front of the stage.
69 is the comeback special.
That's the comeback special. Yeah. And you light it up. You plug it and it lights up.
And you don't
see
that anywhere, really?
No.
How come you never brought that home?
This was another thing that was too nice to bring home.
Brings me home Metallica and Kiss and Elton.
A lot of Elvis stuff. I have drawers and drawers and drawers of Elvis stuff.
Yeah.
And he lost my two tickets.
The German people come to me every year. They bought negatives. I had negatives.
He was stationed in Germany when he was in the Army.
Yeah, I know.
As a matter of fact, I thought they had the wrong fort. I thought he went to Fort Hood for basic training. But they said something else in the movie, so they're probably right. Yeah. For some reason, I thought he was in Texas.
I always think they did the research.
Yeah, and he was a mama's boy, and yeah, he was blonde, and yeah, his twin did die at birth.
Well, and good fact-checking there, Mom. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anything else we can help you with?
I think that does it. Do you have any other closing thoughts on the Elvis movie? Anything else you wanted to mention about it?
No, I thought it was terrific. I feel sorry.
Is it true what I read just recently, that this is part one?
Could be. Was it long enough?
Did they need more? Yeah, you know what? They left out one of the most important things of all time, and they may have put it in a movie with your idol, Bruce, what's his name, Ash? There's a picture of him with President Nixon. Mm. He was
stoned out of his mind.
There was a great one, something and something. Yeah, and he was stoned out of his mind, and he showed up at the White House, and they let him in.
Yeah,
and
they didn't show that, but they did show when he was starting to get all paranoid. And
yeah,
crazy
I think he had a gun on him. Yeah. Can you picture in this day and age showing up at the White House with a gun? So they left out that. They probably left out a lot that I'm forgetting too. Yeah.
Dad wouldn't have been able to stay up if it was any longer. So.
Oh no, he was in agony the last 20 minutes.
And that's the worst couch in the world.
He couldn't wait for him to die.
Hey, here's the money, go buy a new couch.
Stop.
Come on, everybody. Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with my parents. They're absolutely ridiculous. Actually, my mom, she emailed me like when she got home that night to let me know that I needed to include this little story. I didn't read it ahead of time, so I'm going to read this to you straight from the email, and hopefully it's not too embarrassing. I don't know. My mom, she wrote this in third person? Is third person to say my mom when it's her writing? Anyway, my mom just reminded me that I attended a bar mitzvah around 30 years ago in Silver Springs, Maryland. The rabbi who officiated was the son of the rabbi for whom Elvis was a Shabbos goy. A Shabbos goy opens door locks and puts on lights for Orthodox Jews from Friday night through Saturday sundown. The bar mitzvah boy was the son of mom's best friend. Oh, I see we've switched tense. Since they were 3 years old. There's that. Some great information from mom. Thanks to mom and dad for joining me during that conversation and for watching the movie with me. It was a fun night. And thank you to you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoy what we're doing here on Piecing It Together, make sure you subscribe. Of course, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, wherever it is you're listening right now, or all the other podcast apps, we are available. Lots and lots of episodes up there, over 200 episodes, and a lot more on the way. And we usually do the puzzle pieces thing. So I wrote down a few notes that if this had been a regular episode that I maybe would have brought up. So I'm just going to read those off to you real quick. Usually the puzzle pieces is a back and forth conversation with a guest. But of course I had Bohemian Rhapsody on my list because I always talk about this ever since that movie was so freaking huge, regardless of what you think of the movie. I think we have a pipeline of musician biopics on the way that are just going to keep coming and coming and coming. And while that one, I feel, kind of fell into some of the traps of the musician biopic genre, Elvis really leaned in a way that made them feel fresh again, which, by the way, another puzzle piece I probably would have brought up is Walk Hard, which is, of course, a parody of the music biopic. And in some ways, it felt like there could never be another music biopic after that movie because it's so heavily skewered every single beat. And they're all here in Elvis, but, you know, if it does it as well as Elvis does, as well as Baz Luhrmann put this movie together, it just makes it all work all over again, even though we all kind of laugh at those beats because they're so obvious. But yeah, so I had both of those. I also had That Thing You Do because Tom Hanks as a music manager, except a nicer one, much nicer than Colonel Tom Parker, of course. I also had Spaceballs because, again, with Colonel Tom Parker, with his merchandising, you know, we had Mel Brooks with the Star Wars merchandising in Spaceballs. So I had that as a puzzle piece. The last one that I had written down, I'm sure I would have thought of some more if we were doing a regular episode, The Disaster Artist, the behind-the-scenes making of The Room. The scene where Greg Sestero is going to go out on the road with Tommy Wiseau and his family is just so worried. Like, how could you just go out with this weird guy and just, like, leave? How could you possibly think this is going to go well? Totally reminded me of Elvis leaving his family to go out with Colonel Tom Parker. So those would have been my puzzle pieces that I would have brought up if I was doing a regular episode of Piecing It Together on Elvis. So that is it for today's episode. Make sure you're subscribed. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. It's called Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. You can find it on Facebook. I will let you in. I keep it closed just to keep all the trolls out, but, you know, request to join, you're in. You're a listener of the show, you're in. You could also check out our Patreon, of course, if you really want to support the show. Just listening, reviewing, sharing, following, all that stuff is supporting the show. But if you really want to support the show in a monetary way, you could subscribe to our Patreon. It's the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And on there, you'll find bonus and advanced episodes of Piecing It Together, as well as bonus content from Awesome Movie Year, which is another movie podcast that I produce, and stuff from my music career. I am a musician. I have a lot of music out there. I'm currently working on 2 new albums. And yeah, you'll get stuff from all that too. So check it out. It is the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. So speaking of my music, let's close out with a piece of my music. And I don't think I have anything that sounds like Elvis or that would really fit the Elvis world. Am I forgetting something? Nah, I really doubt it. So rather than dig through my hard drive looking for something that would specifically fit Elvis, why don't I just play you my new single? It's called Antiviral. It sounds nothing like anything that has anything to do with Elvis, but it is my new single, the first single from my next album, which is called More Content and is coming out later this year. So I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.